So we're reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 4, turn it on, yes. Chapter 4, text 5, books. A copy of Bhagavad Gita as it is at home or someplace. Better not on the floor. Who doesn't have a copy someplace? Or who does have a copy? You have a copy of Bhagavad Gita as it is? You have a copy. You're set. Okay. I know you have. Not everyone has a copy at home, then we try to. Something has to be done about this.
Yes, ma'am.
What was the verse again?
Chapter 4, text 5. If you don't have a copy at home, walk away with one. And if you like, you can. You can give a donation to Rambi Jai this week. Okay? So chapter 4, text 5. I don't have a page number. Buhuni ne vititan. Shri Bhagavan Vacha,
Shri Bhagavan Vacha,
Bhaguni,
Bhaguni,
Ne,
Ne,
Yatitani,
Yatitani,
Janmani,
Janmani,
Tava,
Tava,
Charjana,
Charjana,
Tani,
Tani,
Aham,
Aham,
Deda,
Deda,
Sarvani,
Sarvani,
Na,
Na,
Tvam,
Veta,
Parantapa,
Parantapa,
Shri Bhagavan Vacha,
Shri Bhagavan Vacha,
Bhuni me vyatitani,
Bhuni me vyatitani,
Janmani tava charjana,
Janmani tava charjana,
Anyaham veda sarvani,
Anyaham veda sarvani,
Natvam veta parantapa,
Natvam veta parantapa,
Shri Bhagavan Vacha,
Shri Bhagavan Vacha,
Bhuni me vyatitani,
Bhuni me vyatitani,
Janmani tava charjana,
Janmani tava charjana,
Anyaham veda sarvani,
Anyaham veda sarvani,
Natvam veta parantapa,
Natvam veta parantapa,
Bhaguni me vyatitani,
Bhaguni me vyatitani,
Janmani tvacharjuna,
Janmani tvacharjuna,
Tanyaham veda sarvani,
Tanyaham veda sarvani,
Natvam veta parantapa,
Natvam veta parantapa,
Shri Bhagavan Vacha,
Shri Bhagavan Vacha,
Bhuni me vyatitani,
Bhuni me vyatitani,
Janmani tava charjuna,
Janmani tava charjuna,
Anyaham veda sarvani,
Anyaham veda sarvani,
Natvam veta parantapa,
Natvam veta parantapa.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha
Bahuni me vyatitani
Janmani tava charjuna
Tanyaham veda sarvani
Natvam veta parantapa
Ladies, okay.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha
Bahuni me vyatitani
Janmani tava charjuna
Tanyaham veda sarvani
Natvam veta parantapa
Shri Bhagavan Vacha
Bahuni me vyatitani
Janmani tava charjuna
Tanyaham veda sarvani
Natvam veta parantapa
Shri Bhagavan Vacha
Shri Bhagavan Vacha
The personality of Godhead said
Bahuni,
many,
of mine,
Vyatitani,
have passed,
Janmani,
births,
Tava,
of yours,
Cha,
and also,
Arjuna,
O Arjun,
Tani,
those,
Aham, I.
Veda,
do know.
Sarvani,
all.
Na, not.
What was that? Sarvani is all? Not. Okay.
Tvam, you.
Deta,
no.
Parantapa, O subduer of the enemy. The personality of Godhead said, Many births, both you and I have passed. I can remember all of them, but you cannot, O subduer of the enemy. Purport. In the Brahma Sangita 533, we have information of many incarnations of the Lord. It is stated there,
Advaitamachutamanarimanantarupam Adyam Purana Purusham Navayovanamcha Vede Shudurlabhamadhurlabhamatmapato Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami.
I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, Krishna, who is the original person, absolute, infallible, without beginning. Although expanded into unlimited forms, he is still the same original, the oldest, and the person always appearing as a fresh youth. Such eternal, blissful, all-knowing forms of the Lord are usually not understood by even the best Vedic scholars, but they are always manifest to pure, unalloyed devotees. It is also stated in the Brahma Samhita, Amadi murti shukala niyamena tishtam nana vatara makarod bhuvane shukintu Krishna swayam samabhavat paramam kumanyo Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, Krishna, who is always situated in various incarnations such as Rama, Nrisimha, and many sub-incarnations as well, but who is the original personality of Godhead known as Krishna and who incarnates personally also. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nilitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale
Svayam rupakada mahyam tadhati svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Pradijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Nadita Sri Vishakam Vitamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Vandho Jagatpate Govesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Govangi Radhe Vrindavanishri Krishna Bhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Vani Priye Vancha Gopa Rubhyascha Kripa Sistho Vyae Vajra Patita Nam Pavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Yama Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashasi Gopa Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I think anyone who's not much inclined toward lectures might rather go upstairs and play. Don't want to torture any little kids here. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Bhuni me vyatitani janmani tadacharjana Tanyaham veda sarvani Natvam veta parantapa. Lord Krishna has explained to Arjuna, I spoke this Bhagavad Gita many thousands of years ago to Vibhishan, the sun god. Vibhishan spoke it to his son Manu, and Manu spoke it to Ikshaku, the head of the earth planet, or the forefather of Lord Ramchandra. Evam pram praptam imam rajarshayovidam. In this way it was coming down by the prampra system, the system of succession from spiritual master to disciple, spiritual master to disciple. And the rajarshis, the saintly kings, understood it in that way. Well, in this way, Lord Krishna has explained the method of transmission of Vedic knowledge from master to disciple, the parampara system, authorized system for succession. But then Arjuna has a question. That you said, you spoke this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita many thousands of years ago. How is that? You and I are contemporary friends, so how can you tell me that thousands of years ago you were speaking this knowledge to Vibhishana? Just I suppose if I were to tell you that last week I was in New York or New Jersey, you say, oh, that's very interesting. But if I were to tell you that thousands of years ago I was in Peru, or I was on the sun planet, or I was someplace else, you'd say, how is that? I know you're old, but you're not that old. How is it that you could have spoken thousands of years ago in some other place? That was Arjuna's question. You and I are friends. How is it possible? Well, now Krishna speaks this verse, Sri Bhagavan Vacha.
it's not an ordinary person speaking. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Bhuni me vititani janmani tavacharya. Many, many births have passed, both for you and for me. Because we're not this body, we're the soul within the body. So we're changing from one body to the next. Tata dehantara prapti dhira stetran murit. Where at the present moment I have this body, in the previous life I had another body before that, another body before that. And we're changing from one body to another, just as someone is changing from one set of clothes to another. The clothing is external to the body, and the body is external to the soul. So we're changing. So Krishna says, you and I have both gone through many, many births, janman. Tanyaham Veda Sarvani, but I remember all of them. Veda means I know. I know all of them. Not from Veda Parantapa. But although you're a very great warrior, conqueror of enemies, you don't remember anything about your previous births. So why is it that Krishna remembers and Arjuna forgets? That Lord Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, I think, will explain later in the purport, that Krishna never changes his transcendental body. And the living entity is always changing from one material body to the next. I change my body and I forget. The change is so great, so major, that and so traumatic also, that we forget. We're thrown from one life into another life, going through the process of death and then the process of birth, and we forget what our previous life was. This is the law of nature. Sometimes someone has some inkling of a previous life, or sometimes by some special circumstance someone may remember, just as Drupada remembered his previous life. But in general, we forget. So Arjuna knew, I'm Arjuna, I'm the friend of Krishna, but he didn't know what he was in his previous life, what he was in the life before that. He didn't remember, I was born here, I was born there. But Krishna says, I've appeared so many times, and I remember all of those janmas, all of those births. That the Lord will explain next, janma karma chame divyam. My birth and activities are transcendental activities, because I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the living entity is born, he's forced to accept a material body. But when the Lord takes birth, it's his lila, or his self-chosen play. We can't choose. I think I'd like to take another body. We're, like it or not, we're forced. But the Lord chooses. Let me come in different forms. Advaita machuta manari mananta rupam adhyam purana purusham navayoga namcha. The Lord is one without a second. There's only one personality of Godhead. But he appears in many, many forms. Ananta rupa. He's infallible. Advaitam achutam anadi. He's beginningless. And he has his unlimited forms. Our forms are all limited. My eyes can only see so far, my ears can only see so far, hear so far. I can only see with my eyes, I can't hear with my eyes. Padmangani yasya sakalendriya vrittivanti. The Lord can, all of his senses are unlimited. He can see with his ears also. He can hear with his eyes. His senses are all unlimitedly powerful. So his body is not like our body. Our bodies are products of the material energy, yantra rudhanmaya. But they're machines made of material energy. They break down, we have to go to the car shop, the hospital, the doctor, try to fix things as far as possible. But the Lord's body is transcendental. Satchidananda vidya. His body is made of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Our bodies are made of earth, water, fire, air, material substances. So, Purana Purusha, the Lord is the oldest person because he's the primeval person. He's the origin of all. Everyone thinks of God as being the original, the old. I have my father, my grandfather, great-grandfather, great, the original great-great-great-great-grandfather is God. And therefore some religious communities imagine God as being like an old man with a beard and gray hair. But according to the Brahma Samhita, although he's the oldest person, Purana Purusha, Navayovanamsha, he's always just like a fresh young boy. We never see the picture of Krishna in old age. He's always young. Even when he was on the battle of Kurukshetra, he was about 125 years old. But he still appeared just like a fresh youth. We have no such privilege. We may look young when we're 18 or 20 or 25. By the time we're 30, we're starting to move on. By the time we're 40, we've reached middle age and it's all downhill from there. But therefore we flatter some of the old people, oh, you look so young. But Krishna, even though he's older than the oldest, always looks youthful, Navayovana. That personality of Godhead can't be understood simply by speculative study, by Vedic scholarship. But Atmabhakto, by pure devotional service, one can understand Krishna. Bhaktyama mabhijanamati yavanyas jasmi tatvata. One can understand Krishna factually by becoming a devotee of Krishna. Krishna told Arjuna, I'm speaking to you this Bhagavad Gita. Why? I could have spoken to a great sage like Vyasadeva, to great Brahmins. Even Dronacharya was there at Kurukshetra, he was a Brahmin, Arjuna was only a Kshatriya. I could have spoken to a great Brahmacharya like Narad Muni. Instead I'm speaking to you. Bhaktosi me sakacheti rahasyam yetaruttama. Because you're a devotee and my friend, you can understand this science. And that's the qualification. The Gyanis, merely by their Gyan, by their search for knowledge, can't understand Krishna. Or if they do, then they surrender to Krishna. And then they become devotees. Janmanam, bahunam janmanam ante, genvan bahun prapotyate. Vasudeva sarvaniti, samahatma sudhuva. If a Gyani actually becomes a perfect Mahatma, he understands, well, Krishna is everything. Let me surrender to Krishna. And then he becomes a devotee. That means he's understood. Otherwise, if one doesn't surrender to Krishna, it means he hasn't understood Krishna. He's still thinking Krishna is an ordinary human being, or Krishna is one of so many gods, or Krishna is a material manifestation of the spiritual Brahma. Yeah, I'm just thinking so many things. But not understanding Krishna tattvata, factually. To understand Krishna factually, we have to hear from Krishna in the disciplic succession and understand and become the devotees of Krishna. Then we'll understand properly. So Arjuna is told that I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, I know everything about my appearances. I appeared as a fish, I appeared as a tortoise, I appeared as half lion, half man, I appeared as a king, I appeared as a sage, I appeared in so many different forms. Now I'm appearing in my original form as Krishna. Ramadi Murtu Shukala Niyamena Tishtam. All of these forms are eternal. The original expansion from Krishna is Balaram. Balaram expands through different forms, finally is Mahavishnu. From Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. And all of the incarnations within the world are further expansions. Ram, Sringa, Vraha, Kurma. But the original is Krishna. Krishna Swayam Sambhavat Paramam Pumanyo. All of these incarnations, avatars, are either portions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or portions of the portion. What does that mean, portion? You can't divide up the Personality of Godhead. He's Advaita, he can't be divided. But he appears sometimes partially, sometimes still more partially. Sometimes he exhibits his full potency, sometimes his a percentage. Just as the electricity in this house is one, but here in these bulbs, it's maybe 150 watts, 80 watts, 100 watts per bulb. Then if you have a little night light, what is that, 5 or 10 watts? And if we had big spotlights, they might be more, something for the garden, be still more. Although it's one, but the same electricity is appearing, sometimes more, sometimes less. Krishna is appearing, sometimes in a very powerful incarnation, showing practically all of his opulences, nearly all, like Lord Ramchandra. Sometimes he appears in a less fully, Dhanvantari or other incarnation, showing some aspect, Buddha. And sometimes he appears 100%. The 100% manifestation is Krishna, even more than Narayana. The analysis has been given by Srila Rupa Goswami that practically of the qualities of Godhead, so many are shown by, even the living entities. Brahma shows the greatest number of qualities, but the living entities show these qualities to a small extent. Very tiny extent. And the Lord shows them to a great extent. When we come to Lord Ram, he has so many of the qualities, but not all of them. Even Narayan, not all of them. The sweetness found in Goloka Vrindavan, in the pastimes of Krishna, is not found. Even in Vaikuntha, or in Ayodhya. But there Krishna is a great king, In Vaikuntha, he's worshipped with awe and reverence. But in Goloka Vrindavan, there's a sweetness which is a still greater opulence. A still greater opulence. The most intimate knowledge of God is found in Goloka Vrindavan. And the most intimate devotion in Goloka Vrindavan. So, Ete Chamsa Kalapam Sa Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. The Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. The Purna Purushottam, supreme personality of Godhead. Complete. Adi Purusha. In the Vedas also, it is said that although the Lord, one without a second, manifests himself in innumerable forms. He is like the Vaidurya stone, which changes color yet still remains one. Before I came, I had a little... in fact, there's a street here called Alexandrite. Mm-hmm. So that's a stone, semi-precious stone. I had a ring with that stone I got in Ecuador. And it, in some light it's blue, in some light it's kind of, what color would you call that? Amber color. So although it's one, in different circumstances it appears differently. So the Lord is like that. He changes color yet still remains one. All those multiforms are understood by the pure, unalloyed devotees, but not by a simple study of the Vedas. Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhakta. Devotees like Arjuna are constant companions of the Lord, and whenever the Lord incarnates, the associate devotees also incarnate in order to serve the Lord in different capacities. Arjuna is one of those devotees, and in this verse it is understood that some millions of years ago, when Lord Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to the sun god, Vibhishan, Arjuna, in a different capacity, was also present. But the difference between the Lord and Arjuna is that the Lord remembered the incident, whereas Arjuna could not remember. That is the difference between the part and parcel living entity and the Supreme Lord. Although Arjuna is addressed herein as the mighty hero who could subdue the enemies, he's unable to recall what had happened in his various past births. Therefore, a living entity, however great he may be in the material estimation, can never equal the Supreme Lord. Anyone who is a constant companion of the Lord is certainly a liberated person, but he cannot be equal to the Lord. The Lord is described in the Brahma Samhita as infallible, achuta, which means that he never forgets himself, even though he is in material contact. Therefore, the Lord and the living entity can never be equal in all respects, even if the living entity is as liberated as Arjuna. Although Arjuna is a devotee of the Lord, he sometimes forgets the nature of the Lord. But by the divine grace, a devotee can at once understand the infallible condition of the Lord, whereas a non-devotee or a demon cannot understand this transcendental nature. Consequently, these descriptions in the Gita cannot be understood by demonic brains. There are two kinds of commentators on the Bhagavad Gita. There are commentaries by the devotees and commentaries by the non-devotees. The devotees accept Krishna as he is, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the non-devotees are always trying to minimize Krishna, get rid of Krishna. Abhijanati mamrutam manajintanamashi. Because he appears like an ordinary human being. They deride him, they minimize him. They say there's something greater than Krishna, something above Krishna. Although Krishna says, Mata paritaram nanyanas kinchit tanja. There's nothing higher than me. But the scholars are more intelligent. They say, no, there's something higher. Because they have no respect for Krishna. Although they speak of Krishna as the divine and this and that. But actually, they don't accept Krishna as he is. So one should hear from the devotees, not from the non-devotees. Krishna remembered acts which were performed by him millions of years before, but Arjuna could not, despite the fact that both Krishna and Arjuna are eternal in nature. We may also note herein that a living entity forgets everything due to his change of body. But the Lord remembers because he does not change his Satchidananda body. He is Advaita, which means there is no distinction between his body and himself. With us, there's duality. I'm one thing, my body is another thing. For the Lord, body and self are the same. Everything in relation to him is spirit, whereas the conditioned soul is different from his material body. And because the Lord's body and self are identical, his position is always different from that of the ordinary living entity, even when he descends to the material platform. The Prabhupada gave the example that sometimes Mahatma Gandhiji was in jail, in prison. So if the ordinary prisoners think that, yes, Gandhi is in prison, we're in prison, there's no difference between us and Gandhi. That's not correct. Gandhi is a great leader, and they're just thieves. Although they may both be in prison, or sometimes even the governor may come to inspect the prison. If the prisoners think, oh, no, the governor's in prison too. Well, that's their foolishness. The governor is just visiting by his own free will and out of kindness, perhaps, to the inmates. But if the inmates think, no, we're on the same level as he is, that's their mistake. The demons cannot adjust themselves to this transcendental nature of the Lord, which the Lord explains in the following verse. All right, are there any questions?
All right, you talked about, Srila Prabhupada also writes in the purport about how we forget our bodies when we change the body. Right. So there's this tendency to think that, okay, I have this body, this lifetime, next life, I'm anyway going to forget what happened in this life, so why not to enjoy? Why not to take full leverage of what we have now, whether I'm a rich or a poor, whether I follow regulative principles or not, but go and enjoy.
Suppose I say that you do such and such, and in your next life you'll be a pig. Do you think it's very nice? And if I offer you the compensation, but you'll forget what you were in the last life. You'll be wallowing in the mud and eating stool. But it won't be so bad because you won't remember that you used to eat halava and sweet rice and samosas. Or you could live as a demigod. Or you can have a transcendental body. Then would you say, well, if I'm going to forget anyway, let me become a pig? Would any intelligent person say, no, let me become a pig then? But just as a, out of foolishness, he's so attached to doing anything and everything. Anyway, next life, who cares? Just just like young people sometimes, you know, those who are in bad association, they'll do anything, everything, and then, you know, they burn themselves up, and by the time they're 30, their minds are gone, their bodies are gone, because there's consequences. Well, all right, if the consequences are deferred to the next life, still the consequences are severe. Suppose that you're a college professor, but I say you take this pill and you'll forget that you were a college professor, you'll forget everything, you'll just be kind of a stupid idiot, but it'll be all right because you won't remember that you were a college professor, so you won't feel it. Would you do it? I say, anyway, I'm going to give you $100,000, you can do whatever you like, and then in 2 years you'll be, the pill will work and you'll forget everything. But for those 2 years, you'll live like a king. Would you do it? So what kind of proposal is that? Yes?
So why would God defer the punishment to the next birth? I mean, if he does that in this birth itself, then we know that, okay, I did that, so I'm suffering because of that mistake, I'm suffering here. If he defers to the next...
Even when I suffer in this life, still, it doesn't... I don't think, well, I did that, now I should change, I should surrender to Krishna. Still, I think, well, you know, I chose the wrong doctor, that's all. He doesn't think that I misused my life, I was so sinful, I should become Krishna conscious. No, he thinks, anyway, people, they're coughing and they're in the hospital and still they're looking for a cigarette.
But at least some people might change if they see the punishment in this life.
No, they don't change. They see others suffering. And they hear from Bhagavad Gita, from Shastra, that all these sufferings are due to past activities. They see that I'm suffering. They see even others are suffering worse than I am. But still, they're so addicted to sense gratification that janaya shunya vishakarma. They know it's poison, they've heard it's poison, and still they're drinking. Also, there's no question of one life, because we go from lifetime to lifetime, so something has to be for the next one. You know, just like, yeah, I'm eating, and sometimes the eating is wrong, so I'm getting indigestion immediately. Or sometimes I get gastric trouble, but it takes 5 years to develop. Sometimes, like that. The law is not just instant. As soon as you do something, bam. Sometimes it's instant, sometimes it's that night, sometimes it's the next morning. People who are drinking, you know, it's the next morning. Sometimes it's 10 years later. And sometimes it's the next life. But regardless, people don't surrender unless they get the mercy of the pure devotee of Krishna. If they come in touch with the pure devotee of Krishna, then it doesn't depend on when the suffering hit them last or what the connection is. They'll get by the grace of Krishna, they'll think, let me become Krishna conscious. Is that okay? If it were all to hit us at once, we'd pray to Krishna, please put some of it off to the next life.
I wouldn't say that.
You wouldn't.
I want to be punished in this life, so I know.
But what? We couldn't even take the amount of punishment due. Just like sometimes we hear these criminals, they're so vicious, the judge condemns them to 5 consecutive 100-year terms in prison. So it's not possible for him to get that. So it's not possible for us. All the reactions that are supposed to come on me, this one little body can't take them all. It's not possible. And if the maximum that we could possibly have thrown at us were thrown at us, it would be unbearable. In any case, Krishna says, surrender to me and be free from these things. So, we should do it. And not just out of threat, oh, if I don't surrender, he's going to hit me. What? Krishna's inviting, come on. Come back to Godhead. Why rot here? And we should do it. Something else?
Maharaj, in one of the classes I heard not too long ago, I think probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, it was mentioned that we cannot understand God through our eyes, but through our ears. I might be wrong. But
yes.
Can you correct me?
Hearing is more important than seeing. There's so many germs in this room, but we can't see them. But we can hear that there's so many germs. So you see more by hearing. There's so many little blood cells coursing through your veins, moving through those veins and arteries every time the heart beats. You can't see them, but you hear from scientists how the blood is flowing, and so you see by hearing. We can't see the wind, but we see it by hearing. At night, the crickets can't be seen. You hear them. And hearing is more important. Okay. If the head of the State Department were to walk in the room, to me it looks like anyone else. I'd have to hear from someone, well, this is the head of the State Department. Then I'd see him. Otherwise, I'm seeing just an ordinary guy in a business suit, or maybe he's not even wearing his business suit. But when I hear, then I can see, well, he's such and such person. Something else? Yes.
This verse says that Krishna says, many, many births both you and I have passed. But Krishna really doesn't take birth as we do.
No.
But still he says...
He has a birth. He's born as the son of Devaki and Vasudev. Devaki Janma Bhado. It's said that he's born as Devaki Janma Bhado. It's said that he takes birth as the son of Devaki. Actually, he's transcendental. But he plays the pastime of taking birth. Just as in a drama, someone takes the pastime of being the son of such and such, the brother of such and such, the husband of such and such. It's all play. So for Krishna, for us, the birth is not play. It's mandatory punishment. But for Krishna, it's voluntary play. His birth is... He appears as in the prison cell of Kamsa with chakra... what is it? Shankar Chakra Gadha Padma. With helmet and jewels. So what kind of birth is that? Ordinary child is not born like that. Born all slimy and... Krishna is born transcendentally. Sambhavami Atmamaya. I appear by my own power. We can't say I appear by my own power. We appear because we're thrown by another power into this body. And Krishna? Atmamaya. Sambhavami Atmamaya. I appear by my own power. That means it's play, lila. Something else?
In some other traditions, there is this notion about, you know, committing sinful activities still being, you know, you have a guarantee. Like this was in continuation to a question that was asked last night in San Antonio, that we could commit any sins, we can commit any acts, in the end, you know, there is a Savior who has saved us, who has taken our sins. And, you know...
But Jesus doesn't say that. He never says, go on with your sins. What is it? Sin no more. Right? It's a different... You're forgiven, now sin no more. If it's just a guarantee, why should he bother? Hey, you still have a few years left. Enjoy. And don't worry, at the end you've got a guarantee. Have a good time, see you later. Doesn't say that. Sin no more.
Are there definitions?
Yes. The one rich man asked, what do I have to be saved? What do I have to do to be saved? And Lord Jesus Christ said, follow the commandments. He said, which commandments? He said, these 10. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet another's wife, one shall not bear false. You know, all those 10. Thou shalt not kill. He said, well, I'm doing that. So then give away all your money and to the poor and join me. And then he ran away. But the first foot of instruction was follow these commandments. Not that I'm the way, the truth, and the life, so you can lie, you can steal, you can mess around with someone else's wife, you can kill, you can do everything you like, and at the end, I've died for your sins, so everything's fine. That's not his teaching. Why is he telling? Do not sin. Sin no more. Follow these commandments. Why? Now, all right, it's understood that no man is perfect. So you devote yourself to Jesus Christ at the end. You've tried, maybe you haven't 100% succeeded, but he'll be merciful to you. That's a different thing. But if someone thinks, no, such Jesus Christ has died for my sins, why should I? That's shameless, vicious mentality. His religion is, I would be sinful and how to enjoy everything and give Jesus Christ the bill. I've enjoyed, you suffer. You came to suffer for me, right? So let me enjoy you suffer. What kind of person is that?
Which one of the commandments about thou shalt not kill, even in our own tradition, sometimes we come across an argument that there are some demigods and in their names we used to do animal sacrifice.
Mm.
How do we, you know, get that argument?
It's not very good. In every scripture, this killing is restricted. You can do an animal sacrifice, but you can't do it every day. And you can't just do it willy-nilly, let me just kill an animal and gobble it up. You have to kill an animal on such and such day, and go to such and such temple. Not any animal, also only certain animals. It's all restricted. Why the restriction? If you want to drink milk, they don't restrict that you have to go to a temple and you have to whisper into the TV's ear, now I'm drinking milk, the next life I'll drown in milk. But if you want to kill an animal, you have to go to the Kali Mandir and whisper into the ear of the goat, now I'm killing you, next life you can kill me. Mamsa. Why all that? It's too strict. Like the government, they allow the sale of liquor, but only in a certain place, and you have to be a certain age, you have to pay a high tax. So, with all those conditions, why should it, and you have to see all the warnings. With all of those conditions, why should someone do it? Some people are insistent, no, I have to. I have to smoke, I have to drink. And we'll tax you, we'll restrict you. But for bread, for milk, no restriction, no tax. In the Bible also, they're allowed to kill some animals, but they have to do it at a certain place, at a certain time, on an altar built a certain way, so many cubits by so many cubits, and then they have to kill it in a certain way, and they have to sprinkle the blood all over everyone. An intelligent person after some time will think, why do we have to do this? In no scripture do they say, yes, just open a big, big factory and kill millions of animals and make money. And Krishna says, yes, you make a sacrifice to me. Patram pushpam palantayam. A leaf, flower, some fruit, some water. But yeah, some devotion. Not animals, flesh, and blood. Something else. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhupada ki jai.